there are men who say, yeah, that Incredible Hulk TV series complete 5-season box set is great, but I don't need to own it. There are men who say, was there an Incredible Hulk TV series? And then there's Adam Bernstein and Doug Bost, two men who should have better things to do but aren't doing them right now. These are two grown-ass men.
Grown-ass men.
Well, welcome to 2017. We have burned 2016 behind us. All the bad
have
things.
Have we burned? We tried to. Yep. We tried to at our New Year's Eve party to burn all our stuff away symbolically. And we'll have to see how well it worked.
Starting fresh.
Yeah, I hope so, right?
We are recording our first Grown-Ass Men episode of 2017 in Adam Bernstein's recording room, the only room, I think, on the planet where on the bookshelf you've got Roots of the Swamp Thing right next to the Randy Newman anthology songbook.
And Bacharach and David songbook.
Yes, exactly.
They all go together. Yeah. Man.
And this episode, we're going to talk about a classic nerd subject, which is Star Trek versus Star Wars. Be said that hasn't already been said on this incredibly well-discussed topic over the years, and yet we need to put our own personal stamp on it.
That's true. And in light of Carrie Fisher just dying, I mean, it's like it was so fresh in my mind how much people love Star Wars so much. It's so huge for people.
Yep.
And particularly Carrie Fisher.
Unbelievable to see the new movie,
yeah.
To see Carrie Fisher in the movie, and then walk out and find out that she had not made it.
And for me, I didn't know Debbie Reynolds that well, and now I've been following up, and now I'm like into Debbie Reynolds, and I feel like she's really in Star Wars too.
Well, hilariously, Debbie Reynolds is once again stealing the spotlight from her daughter, because that's the whole thing.
Was that their thing?
That's their whole relationship. That's what Postcards from the Edge is about.
Oh.
You know, Carrie Fisher has been complaining about that for decades, that her mom is overbearing and tries to steal the spotlight from her.
Right.
And now, don't you feel like they're just in heaven and Carrie Fisher's going, really, Mom? I couldn't even have my own funeral?
I mean, I hope not, but like, you're probably right. I mean, Carrie Fisher seemed like she definitely was a curmudgeon at times. But
a hilarious person, really good actress, fantastic writer.
Yeah.
She was a script doctor for years.
Yes.
After Star Wars, she would just doctor screenplays. She was just great at that.
Yeah. I mean, she was so great. I mean, I saw the first two Star Wars when I was in middle and high school, and like, they were so huge. So huge. I mean, the first Star Wars had so... In my mind, I saw it at the Ziegfeld.
Oh,
we waited on
did you
line.
Really? Wow.
They gave out buttons. It was blue and said, "May the Force be with you." I mean, it was like... I was in 7th or 8th grade.
That's
it was
great.
Like enormous.
Yeah.
Me, my dad, and my brother went. It was like... We waited on line. You know, we were like, yeah, of course we'll wait on line for that. And it did not disappoint.
Mm. I saw the first one in Chatham, Massachusetts, summer of 77 with my family. And I loved it so much that I immediately wrote a review of it I was 10, and I wrote a review of it for our newspaper, the Bangor Daily News.
Right, which you've mentioned before.
And I submitted it to the Bangor Daily News, and they wrote back a rejection, a very nice rejection. They rejected it because they would not be convinced that I hadn't had help writing it.
They didn't believe that necessarily.
And I said, why don't you get 10-year-olds to review your movies all the time? Movies, you know, that appeal to 10-year-olds.
Right.
And they were like, we can't. It doesn't seem like you wrote this. So
That's just jive.
That was jive. It was jive.
I mean, the third one for me, combined probably with where I was in my life, I was probably towards the end of high school. I don't. What year is the third? Already it became...
So Star Wars is 77. Right. Empire is 80.
Yeah.
And then Return of the Jedi is 83,
I think. The one I'm talking about, Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
For me, like, it was getting too cartoony and...
Well, that was the...
Too many Muppets kind of thing.
It was not nearly as good. The second one, though, Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, God, it was amazing.
I saw the Empire Strikes Back in a movie theater that was constructed for the Empire Strikes Back. It was in London.
What did they do to make it for that?
Well, it was in London. They built it for the premiere of the movie.
You saw it in London?
In London. And it had multiple balconies. It had like five levels. It had like a regular theater, you know, yeah. like a legit theater. So it had an orchestra, and then it had all these balconies. And I sat there with my dad, and I went to see it in 1980. And it's just fantastic. And my dad did not want to see it. And he thought, oh, it's going to be stupid and everything. And we get in there, and the Millennium Falcon goes inside the cave.
Yeah.
And they're looking around. They're trying to figure out where they are. And suddenly that thing that's like a sucker thing attaches to the outside of the window. And my dad's like, Jesus Christ, watch out.
It's all right. Yeah, what I thought. Minoc. Chewie, check the rest of the ship. Make sure there are no more attached. Chewing on the power cables.
I was like, this movie's working on my dad.
All right, that's right. For me, the first two times... I mean, I've seen this Empire Strikes Back probably four or five times by now, but the first two times I saw it, I was really stoned, and I could never understand it. I was like... I was too out of it. And I was like, why am I not getting this one? But then I finally, like, saw it not stoned.
Wow, it doesn't seem like a movie that would confuse in any state.
Well, I think I was just, maybe I was just confused at that part of my life. You know, 11th grade, 10th grade, I was confused, you know. But I loved them all, and I recently saw, what's the last one that came out? Not Rogue.
The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Resaw that Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it again.
It's good.
Loved it. You know, the whole family was watching it on the couch. Everyone from age, you know, 25 to 88 was all in rap. You know, everybody was digging it.
I saw the new one over the Christmas break.
Right. I planned to see it.
And I don't want to spoil it for you, but I'm not that, you know, it's just, it doesn't quite live up to the hype.
A lot of people have been really into it, though.
People are really into it, and I just, there was a long time in the movie where I didn't know who the hell anybody was, where the hell we were, why people were doing what they were doing, you know, and they're talking about a lot of off-screen characters that you don't understand. And then it really does pick up steam a little later.
Right.
When... they start to I have a friend who likes to use the word paper doll as a verb. You paper doll something onto but when they start to Lego block this movie onto the original Star Wars,
right,
then makes total sense.
Gotcha.
And it really is satisfying when it starts to come together. But before then, I'm not that and it also doesn't have much of a sense of humor.
Really? Oh,
it's got a robot that's supposed to be the comic relief, but it's not that funny.
Yeah.
And The Force Awakens, you've got Chewbacca and Han Solo, and they're both really, like, all those scenes are just comedy. Like, that's really funny. And it's good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some friends who are Star Wars fanatics, and they were raving about it. But I guess which leads me to what this episode is about. Are you a Star Wars guy or a Star Trek guy? What is it?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. Lay it down. Lay it down for the listeners.
I'm a Star Trek guy.
All right.
But I'm an original Star Trek guy.
Original.
I like the dynamic of the original TV series. You got Kirk and Spock and Bones and even the movies, you know. What I don't like is the Next Generation and whatever.
But you don't like Next Generation.
No, I hate that.
Oh, really?
Next Gen, Star Trek, you know, then they've got like Star Trek Beyond.
Voyager,
which is, I think the Star Trek Now Voyager is the one with Bette Davis. And then they've got Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Or yes. It's awful. I think they're all terrible.
I love Next Generation.
Okay. A lot of people do. Feels so 90s to me.
Yeah. It was, well, it was in the 90s, right? I mean, for me, you know, other people that I knew really loved Next Generation. I was dating somebody at the time, and I used to have a gig on in the city. It was every Saturday.
Yep.
And I would hang out with her Friday night and then into Saturday. And at 6 o'clock, Next Generation came on, which was a little earlier than I had to leave for my gig.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably have to leave 6:30, but she would kick me out.
Right.
She's like, I'm watching this and I'm taking it seriously. I always do. You have to leave because I don't want to be distracted. And I was like, all right, she's serious about it. But for me, the original Trek is like a huge part of my life. And we've been watching, they've been having marathons all the time on TV the last few weeks.
It's so good. The original show is so good.
And this For the Love of Spock on Netflix, which you haven't seen yet.
Tell me what that is again.
That's Leonard Nimoy's son made a documentary about Spock. And I guess he died during it, or he was getting sick during it or something. And like, so they made it not only about Spock, but about Leonard Nimoy's life. And he had a lot of issues with his father, which they resolved at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. Because everyone loves, people love Leonard Nimoy, but they love Spock.
Right.
I mean, oh. Spock is just like...
Well, Spock, when you watch that show, like, as an adult, Spock is the main character of Star Trek. You couldn't do that show without him.
No.
And whatever happens, even though Captain Kirk is the lead most of the time, you as a viewer are saying, get Spock on this. You always wonder where he is.
Spock is a superhero beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And like such a cool one, because I mean, besides the fact that he has super strength, besides the fact that he has the Vulcan nerve pinch and all that kind of stuff, his intellect is so great. Like, we watched a little episode the other day where he had to calculate some math.
Uh-huh.
And he just does this impossible math thing in his head instantly, and you're like, how could you not have, if you don't have a Spock on your, you know, on your ship, on your starship, you know, you're definitely lacking.
Curious how often you humans manage to obtain that which you do not want.
Yeah. I love his straight-faced, humorless veneer that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so fun is to watch it drop a little bit when he makes a little wry joke.
Yeah.
Or, you know, makes fun of somebody a little bit.
Yeah.
Or gets made fun of, and it's always satisfying.
Yeah.
But then they tried to... Next Generation... That's one of the things I hate about Next Generation, I guess, is that they have their own Spock, who's been spray-painted gold somehow, and he's one of my least favorite actors, and I just, like, that character is terrible, I think.
Yeah, I'm spacing on
Data?
His name. Data.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't even come up with the name, because I love it, but I don't think I've even seen everyone. Whereas, with Trek, I mean, I famously have quit my job in high school to watch an episode that was rarely on TV. I mean, and got an applause. It's like, that was a major part of my life. And I remember watching them. I mean, I was small, but like, my dad watched the original when it was out, you know, and he would turn, I guess it was on Sunday night or something like that. And I remember just sitting with him, you know. I didn't know what was going on, but I just remember seeing that Star Trek logo.
Visually, Star Trek is so beautiful. Maybe I've told you this before, but I went on a JetBlue flight a few months ago, and I went to go to the bathroom, and as I was coming back to my seat from the bathroom, you're walking from the back of the plane to the front, and you can see all the TVs that are on the backs of all the seats.
Yeah.
And on one of the channels, Star Trek was playing.
Right.
And you could immediately, you couldn't tell the difference between one NBC show and another, and one TNT news program or something or another. But you could see exactly where Star Trek was because the color palette is so unique and so beautiful.
Right.
Primary colors, simple. a head against a red background, and then you cut and it's a different head with a blue background. Like, yeah, it's so visually striking.
Yeah, I mean, but the main thing that's so great is the whole ensemble chemistry is phenomenal. I mean, I watch it now and I'm like, I mean, of course we all know that the main three have incredible chemistry right from the first episode. Right. Yeah. It's amazing. But like, they all have it. You know,
Sulu, Chekhov, Scotty,
Uhura, all of them.
Uhura.
You know, they always are like, have so many layers of like ways to interact, you know, and there's so much going on. And we saw the Star Trek Wrath of Khan the other night.
I love the Wrath of Khan.
Oh my God, when I saw it in the theater, like, rock my world.
I know.
That was just
Ricardo Montalban. Oh, so
he was
great.
So amazing at it.
Wrath of Khan was a very inventive movie. It came up with a lot of things that they wound up dealing with in all the other movies. The Genesis Project and everything that they started referring back to that became plot points in the other Star Trek movies was all from Wrath of Khan. It was just a lot of nuggets of material in that one movie.
Yeah. What's so great about the chemistry, and in that one when Spock is dying and they're like having their big scene when Spock's full of radiation.
Which is my Christmas ornament, by the way.
Yes. The reason that, because we already have had 25 years or 20 years at that point of their chemistry, that like when they're having that scene, it's so meaningful.
It's so earned.
Yeah,
it's totally
earned. So earned, right.
And they did it in the new... I don't mind those new Star Trek movies that they're making.
But it's not the same.
But it's not the same. And they did that moment in the first movie, I think. And I was like, you haven't earned that, guys.
Yes, yeah.
What's your favorite Star Wars thing?
My favorite Star Wars thing?
In general. What's your favorite thing about Star Wars?
Oh, by far, is like Yoda training... Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my thing, you know, like, and he's just like, you know, you got to cool out. You got to focus, man. You got to practice. It's like,
right,
whether you're studying meditation or studying bass or writing scripts, you got to do it.
Right.
You have to do it over and over and over. That's how you get good. You have to do your, you know, 10,000 hours to achieve some mastery. Maybe you do. And I like that part of it. You know, I don't have the kind of Oedipus thing. Like, I mean, I had competition, I guess, on some levels with my father through my 50 years, but not a lot like that. You know, they're really like having, that's such a huge part of the earlier stories is, you know, Darth Vader. And they're so clear cut about when you go to the evil side, the dark side. Trek is not like that.
My favorite thing about the Star Wars...
Yeah, go ahead. What is your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is Han Solo, especially in Empire Strikes Back. Han Solo is the man. He's so cool. When they get to Cloud City and they meet Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian, right, and they're walking around, there is the greatest Han Solo moment, even better than him shooting Greedo in the first movie, which is fantastic.
Right.
The best Han Solo moment is Lando says, I've just made a deal that'll keep the Empire out of our hair forever. And he opens a door. There's Darth Vader at the end of a table. Darth Vader stands up. Han Solo sees him and doesn't hesitate. Pulls out his blaster and tries to kill Darth Vader immediately.
Right.
Doesn't think about it. Doesn't react like, hey, what's going on here? He just thinks, that's the guy who I'm going to kill.
Right.
And he starts to do it immediately. And then he gets his blaster taken away from him. And he's not able to do it. But it's such a great moment. And it's so satisfying to watch it. Because you think, well, there's no question for Han Solo. It's not like, is he somebody's father? Is it the right thing to do to kill him? Han is just like, he's going to die if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Harrison Ford is incredible. In a way, he has elements of the Trek things that are the subtleties that in ways some of the other characters don't have as much.
Yeah, sort of. Harrison Ford has a seriousness to him, but he's also funny. He's also a grown-up as soon as you see him.
Right.
He's not an overgrown kid.
Right.
Like, he's a grown-up. He's an adult. And the other thing that Harrison Ford can always do so well is Payne. Nobody does Payne better than Harrison Ford. And his best moments in the Indiana Jones movies, too, is when he's in terrible, terrible pain.
Right.
He can, you just feel like, ooh, it's bad. He's going to get somebody back for this bad pain that he's in right now.
I also was thinking that both Trek and Star Wars, the music is so important and so incredible. I mean, John Williams' work on that stuff. I mean, a friend of ours just posted Leia's theme on Facebook. I mean, it's like immense, incredible writing.
So identifiable,
too. Oh, my God. The Star Wars themes are incredible.
Yeah.
You know, to write themes for a movie and have them be recognizable is just incredible. It's not that way all the time.
Star Trek can't hold a candle to the Star Wars music.
Oh,
Star Wars music is amazing.
Not in the movies, but like Star Trek in the episodes.
Well, the main theme, yeah.
No. Here's what I'm going to argue.
You're even saying
Alexander Courage is a genius. You have to buy his box set, man. I was going to say, next time you watch the original, listen to how loud the music is. The music is is a huge actor in that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really loud. It's really great. It's identifiable. Like, he has his own style the whole time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of other music doesn't sound like that. I think he's freaking incredible.
All right. I'll listen for that next time.
But yeah, everyone says John Williams is unbelievable, you know.
I love that people have such a hardcore opinion about what's better, Star Wars or Star Trek. Everybody has an opinion. If you ask them, like, a knee-jerk response. People are able to answer that question very quickly.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Star Wars, definitely.
Star Trek, because they focus more, at least in the early days of the original series, Next Generation focused more on exploration as opposed to, like, visual effects and warring.
Star Wars, one word. Wookiees.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Trek. Hot babes.
Star Trek, Patrick Stewart.
I'm going to go Star Wars because I like Chewie.
Although I have a deep, undying affection for Mr. Spock, I think I'm going to choose Star Wars because of Carrie Fisher.
Well, it seems that we kind of both agree.
As on many things, we agree.
Star Trek rules.
But Star Wars is also very pleasurable. We did not
talk
about...
It wasn't like we were talking about, like, Star Trek versus...
Star Blazers.
Star Blazers.
Yes.
Or Star Lord.
Oh, Star Blazers. Star Blazers was so great.
I never saw Star Blazers.
I could sing you the theme. Fighting with the Gamelons, we won't stop until we've won. Evil men with evil schemes, they can't destroy our dreams.
Then we'll return, and when we arrive, the Earth will survive with our
Star
Blazers.
Cut the original and put it in the episode. Well, friends.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Let us know if you have a preference between Star Wars and Star Trek. We would like to get more opinions on this and do some sort of a very scientific tally of what's better.
Yes, definitely. We're going to do some science on this year. All right, great. Adios, friends.
Grown-ass men.